From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on This Day in Maine, Thursday, May 8th, 2025. State lawmakers heard hours of emotional testimony today on bills that would ban transgender athletes from girls and women's sports in Maine. Supporters say the bills are needed to protect female athletes, but dozens of opponents criticized the measures as politically motivated attacks on a highly vulnerable population. Kevin Miller reports.
Maine has been in the national spotlight for months on the issue of transgender athletes. The Trump administration has attempted to withhold or freeze federal funding because Maine allows transgender athletes to compete in girls' and women's sports. And in the first federal lawsuit of its kind, the U.S. Department of Justice alleges that policy violates Title IX, the federal law against sex-based discrimination in schools. So Thursday's hearings on bills to change that policy were among the most highly anticipated of the legislative session.
LD 868 will eliminate the chaos that Maine's current policy has inflicted in our school districts, school boards, and school budgets.
Representative Liz Caruso is a Republican from Carrotunk. Her bill, LD 868, would prohibit athletes who were born male from competing on female sports teams, although they could play on co-ed teams. It would also require schools to designate restrooms and locker rooms as single sex.
It will bring Maine into alignment with Title IX, federal anti-discrimination laws, the NCAA policy, President Trump's executive order, and possibly the Olympics will follow.
Only two transgender students are known to be competing in high school sports in Maine this year, out of tens of thousands of athletes. But the issue has dominated the political debate in Maine ever since a Republican state lawmaker voiced her opposition to the state's policy by posting a picture and the name of one of those athletes on Facebook. That incident was cited repeatedly during testimony to the legislature's Judiciary Committee. High school student Zoe Hutchins testified in support of changing the policy. A senior who competes in soccer and track, Hutchins says one of her teammates was demoted on the podium after losing to the transgender athlete during a pole vaulting championship.
It is extremely regressive of our state to allow this and to take these opportunities away from our girls. Beyond just having a fair and level competition, these bills are about protecting our girls and our women.
But more than a dozen high school and college students spoke against the bills. One of them was Ellsworth High School senior Felix Markosian.
This legislation should not have to spend its time focusing on issues that are simple, that are just simple human rights. And covering this blatant attack with the excuse that you are trying to protect the children is honestly laughable.
Members and supporters of Maine's LGBTQ community outnumbered bill supporters by far among those testifying in person during the day-long meeting. Unable to fit in the small committee room, dozens of opponents of the bills watched the hearing on televisions set up in the State House Hall of Flags two floors below. Yet their loud applause and cheers could still be heard inside the committee room after testimony from speakers like Soren Stark Chessa.
In short, my world went from black and white to vibrant color when I was able to exist as my true self.
A high school junior from Falmouth, Stark Chessa says running in girls' track has given her joy and a camaraderie that she never experienced while participating on boys' teams. Although Stark Chessa has been singled out on social media by critics of Maine's policy, she and her mother say her teammates and community have been very supportive.
Trans children are an extremely vulnerable demographic, and running has been extremely important in helping me find a way through hardship. I hope you all will see the value in continuing to make that possible for me and all others.
The Reverend Jane Field with the Maine Council of Churches, which represents seven Protestant denominations with more than 400 churches in the state, told lawmakers that transgender girls are, quote, not the real threat.
These bills are not about fairness or safety. They're about persecuting a small number of already vulnerable kids in service of a political agenda. In the 1950s, the laws were not about drinking fountains, and in 2025, they are not about bathrooms.
The fate of these various bills is unclear. Democrats control both chambers of the legislature, but a poll of Maine voters conducted earlier this spring by the University of New Hampshire Survey Center found that 64% of respondents believed transgender athletes should not be allowed to compete in girls' and women's sports. The Maine Principals Association took no position on the bills, saying its policy is based on the state law enshrined in the Maine Human Rights Act. MPA spokesman Jared Bornstein says the organization just wants the legislature to clearly decide the issue one way or the other.
We ask that the legislature embrace its responsibility rather than place the burden on MPA, who is an organizing body, not a social, cultural, or political deliberating body.
Maine Governor Janet Mills has vowed to fight the Trump administration's lawsuits and funding threats on states' rights grounds, but the governor has yet to take a position on the bills. Attorney General Aaron Fry, meanwhile, whose office is defending the state against the Trump lawsuit, submitted testimony in opposition to the bills. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
Several roads around Auburn City Hall are still closed after a construction accident sparked a fire while crews were putting a sewer liner in place as part of a storm drain upgrade project. Auburn Fire Deputy Chief Matt Fifield said the call came in just after 1:30 this afternoon, and crews encountered flames shooting up out of a manhole on Court Street.
The cause of the fire is still preliminary, but it's believed to be a fueling accident ignited the fire and in turn caught the resin liner that was being installed into the storm drain on fire, and this resin liner is a flammable material.
Fifield said it took some time to contain the fire in the sewer line. One worker suffered burns to his arms and was taken to Central Maine Medical Center in Lewiston. The road in front of City Hall and part of Turner Street are still closed. Nurses and community members rallied in Bar Harbor this afternoon to protest the closure of the Mount Desert Island Hospital's obstetrics department set for July. Erin Oberson, a nurse on the labor and delivery unit, says making women drive longer distances is not good care. The closest hospital is more than 30 minutes away in Ellsworth, but could take longer during summer tourist traffic and in bad weather.
It feels like every time there's a cut to be made, it's to women and children's services.
More than 1,100 people have signed a petition to keep the unit open. A spokesperson for MDI Hospital says the decision to close is firm due to declining birth rates. Three other Maine hospitals have already closed their maternity units this year in Belfast, Waterville, and Holton. Immigration lawyers are sounding alarms over what they say is an escalating immigration crackdown in Maine. Border Patrol agents, they say, are arresting people who have valid work permits, no criminal records, and who are following lawful pathways to permanent status. At least two attorneys are advising their clients to avoid traveling to Maine altogether. Rhode Island-based immigration lawyer Arnaldo Benitez says his client, a Venezuelan asylum seeker living in Florida, traveled to Maine in early March with a construction crew to work on a job site down east. According to a Department of Homeland Security document shared by Benitez, his client was taken into custody on March 5th by Border Patrol agents in Calais after someone called in to report a van transporting, quote, possible illegal aliens.
He was not committing any crimes, was not doing anything that would warrant detention other than being in Maine when they don't want him there.
The same document states that Benitez's client presented Border Patrol agents with a government-issued work authorization card, and that a background check found no warrants or criminal history. Still, the arresting agents wrote that a work permit alone was not enough to prove lawful status, and that because the man failed to provide other documents, they determined him to be in the country illegally. Benitez says in his nearly 8 years practicing immigration law, he's never seen this situation before. Until now, he says, having a clean record, presenting a valid work permit, and having a pending asylum claim would have sufficed.
They would have that verified. They could see that in the system that either they have an upcoming court date or something and just let them go on their way.
Instead, Benitez says his client was transferred to Immigration and Customs Enforcement and put in fast-track deportation proceedings. Benitez says his client had served as an officer in the Venezuelan military but opposed the regime of strongman President Nicolas Maduro. Benitez says his client received threats for trying to leave the military and ultimately fled to the United States several years ago. Now Benitez says he's telling his other clients to avoid traveling to Maine. And he's not alone.
I am advising all my clients who have valid work authorization and their own companies and other companies they work for not to travel to Maine for work.
Kira Gagarin is an immigration attorney in Framingham, Massachusetts. She says she has dozens of clients who travel to Maine for jobs in construction and landscaping. Recently, she says one of those clients was arrested by Border Patrol in Maine despite having a valid work permit and no criminal record. Gagarin says her client is also petitioning for permanent status through his wife, whose asylum claim has already been granted.
These people are here lawfully. They're going through the legal process of seeking permanent immigration status, especially my client who it's just a matter of time because he has a very clear path to permanency.
Lisa Paricio with the Portland-based Immigrant Legal Advocacy Project says her group is also seeing an increase in this kind of arrest.
We are certainly becoming aware of more and more cases here in Maine of residents as well as people who are doing work in the state being picked up and thrown in detention by immigration officers despite having absolutely no criminal record, having valid work permits, and being in lawful immigration processes.
Paricio says her group has heard of at least 10 such cases so far, including people with pending applications for asylum and temporary protected status. She says there are likely many more, but the full picture is unclear because federal agencies often transfer people to detention centers out of state. Either way, she says it reflects an escalation in immigration enforcement as the Trump administration seeks to increase deportations.
There is just absolutely no compelling public policy reason for this level and broadness of enforcement. You know, why would the government spend resources on detaining people who are following the law and trying to do everything possible to pursue their case?
A spokesperson for Customs and Border Protection did not respond to a request for comment by airtime. In a statement released last week, the agency said it had recently arrested 39 people in Maine over 10 days. Meanwhile, attorney Arnaldo Benitez says although an asylum officer found his client's story credible, the officer denied the asylum claim, saying he was not part of any protected group that would qualify him for legal protection. On Tuesday, Benitez says a judge affirmed that decision and ordered his client deported. Benitez says the outcome could have been different had his client not been picked up by Border Patrol. That's because after the arrest, his client was placed in what's known as expedited removal proceedings, giving him only weeks to marshal evidence and defend his case, and severely limiting his options to appeal.
Right now, we were only able to sort of scratch the surface with his testimony. You know, it was a 30-minute hearing. That's it.
If the asylum claim had proceeded normally, Benitez says, they would have had time to present a more thorough case. Benitez says he's not sure when or to which country his client will be deported. And a day after Maine lawmakers were urged to support funding for the Maine Resiliency Center in Lewiston, Senator Susan Collins announced the approval of more than $8.5 million from the U.S. Department of Justice. In a statement, Collins says the money will be used to continue the center's work to help those affected by the mass shootings in Lewiston. Danielle Shabbat of Winthrop told members of the legislature's Health and Human Services Committee on Wednesday that she wasn't sure what she'd do without the Resiliency Center. She and her husband were bowling with friends when gunfire erupted and people around her were killed. She says she's lived with trauma ever since, but the center's group therapy has helped.
Just to know that that group of people is available to us there gives me a sense of security and support that's beyond measure. The relationships that we have formed throughout the different groups have allowed us to realize that we are not alone. Because I'll tell you, sometimes it feels like it.
Since the center opened nearly 18 months ago, more than 600 people from dozens of Maine communities have used its services free of charge. Catholics in Maine are reacting to the news that, for the first time, an American will serve as Pope. Cardinal Robert Francis Prevost will take the name Leo XIV. Father Kyle Dustu, chaplain at the University of Maine and incoming vicar general for the Diocese of Portland, says he's encouraged by how quickly cardinals chose a successor to Pope Francis.
And to get a two-thirds majority, which is 89 votes, I mean, that is a tremendous feat. But to do so after only a few ballots, at four to be precise, that's incredible.
Dustu says he's hopeful that Pope Leo can serve as a bridge between Americans and Catholics around the world and people of other faiths. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 tomorrow morning, Motherhood and the Natural World. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.